Are you tired, frustrated, and feel stuck? Are you a high-performing business professional, entrepreneur, and you are not getting the results you desire, or you hit a ceiling? Have you been around the block and tried many modalities? You are in the right place. The answer, my friend, is in the little-known Brain-Soul Connection. Welcome to the Brain-Soul Success Show, where we learn, explore, and create your dream life. Your host, Louise Swartzwalter, created a five-part mind-body-soul methodology that clears the subconscious blocks to success. You are a soul with a body, not a body with a soul. The seed of all you need is already within you. From engaging transformational interviews, brain-soul success stories, and secrets shared by health, wellness, and spiritual experts, you will reconnect, revitalize, and transform your powerful life. It's time for you.
Welcome back, everyone, to Take Back Your Power, brought to you by the Brain Soul Success Show. I'm Dr. Louise, and I am here with Shanna Vavra. Oh my gosh, Shanna, I love you so much. I was on your podcast, and of course, here you are today getting to share your wisdom. You're an intuitive and a Reiki master, a spiritual journey mentor, and the host of the Sense of Soul podcast. You are a seeker at heart and a spiritual sleuth, and her journey has led her to so many surprising realizations. So using her inner compass to guide her, Shanna journeyed into the unknown from uncovering her ancestral roots to deep diving into the mysteries of the Gnostic gospel and other ancient texts. So you're like a truth seeker. How awesome. Yes. and I just remember being on your podcast. It was just awesome. And we had such a great conversation. And you are the mother of four children, and you've been in coaching roles for the last 20 years. Shanna's passion turned into a purpose, and it became her mission then to seek the truth and give a voice to this history that's been hidden and untold. And I know you hope to raise the consciousness of your listeners and encourage them to authentically, you know, be and find their truth. And you offer support and guidance. You have inner circles and wisdom that you work with people in, and your own personal experiences and hundreds of podcast interviews and the amazing guests from around the world that have been on your Sense of Soul podcast. So, and you have such a great conversational like ability. I just was really touched by that last time, Shanna. It was beautiful. So you've got motivational speakers and authors from all over the world, really soul food seekers, right? Who are on that spiritual path. So we are so aligned. So welcome. I'm so excited to be with you today.
Oh, thank you so much. I just enjoy spending time with you, and you create such a fun space as well. So I was really looking forward to this today.
Yeah, I feel like we could talk for hours and hours and hours. I do want to find out, you know, how you even started. Okay, so tell us about your journey. You know, give us the synopsis of how you even started the Sense of Soul podcast. Yeah. What was your calling there?
Wow, I feel like I was so conditioned. You know, I was really trying to live up to, you know, the roles that I had saw play out in my life, right? I'm from Louisiana. So that deep rooted Southern hospitality is a real thing, right? It's family, faith, and friends. And there's no you in that. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, and I really did. I desired to be a mom, you know, from as little as I can remember. I mean, getting that first cabbage patch in the 80s was a real thing. I wanted to be a mommy.
Oh, that's a great story. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Remember those?
I do remember those. Yeah.
Yeah. My dad went to great lengths to get me one of those. But, you know, I grew up with your typical, I guess, well, it's not so typical today, but the traditional family where my mom, she stayed at home, she cooked, she cleaned, you know, she raised us, and my dad worked his butt off so that she could do that and provided for the family and was proud to do that. And, you know, I just, that's what I wanted. And I really looked up to the women in my family. And now looking back, they really were, some of them, especially my momo, I would say, she was so selfless, but almost in a martyr way. You know, she never did for herself, didn't even take care of herself, really. And at really one point in my life, I worshiped that. I thought that that was, you know, the way to be. And then I had three children, then four, and, you know, trying to smile through the stress and anxiety that life brings, especially a mother of four. Mm-hmm. And it just caught up with me where I lost myself, if I even ever found myself, really. And I was, you know, having so much anxiety, not sleeping, and I was put on all these medications, and I was in so much pain at the time, was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, so was given more medications, and it just led to a point where I was just a zombie. I've always been a very empathic, emotional person, and I couldn't even cry anymore. I couldn't even feel.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I turned to other methods. I said to the doctor, take all these meds back. I'm going to go seek, you know, some talk therapy. And that's kind of where it started. I had many therapists, but I had my last therapist was, she was pretty amazing. She had one suggested that I stop calling myself codependent, which I had been labeled by the therapist before. And she said, I want you to look up what an empath is. And I had never even heard of such a thing. I knew what empathy was, but what is an empath? And there wasn't a lot online at the time. I think I found like one little blurb on Pinterest or something. And I said, oh my gosh, this is me. This is why I've always been this way, you know, soaking in everyone's emotions, carrying the weight of the world. Mm-hmm. And I just started to become more aware of my energy because of that. And then, you know, I started to do mindfulness classes because they said I had ADHD too. I mean, I had everything. And I'm like,
yes.
I have no problem having my mind full. So I don't know how you want me to do mindfulness, but it was amazing. Those first moments where I listened and heard myself speak to me in the way that I was, it was pretty brutal.
You know what? I'm really proud of you. I mean, when you're telling the story, good for you. Because I do see a whole lot of people with any kind of autoimmune kind of thing going on. And often they are empaths and they are taking the weight of the world on their shoulders and taking in everybody else's emotions. And you have the wisdom to go within and go, I don't want this medication anymore. I'm going to seek. I'm going to find out what I need for me. So I guess it was such a journey. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was lacking experiences of my own. So, you know, I was living a life that was based on everyone else's dreams, beliefs, ideas. Mm-hmm. And so I did ask myself that question, how much of what you believe in have you been told to believe? And of that, how much have you experienced to be your truth? And that's when the truth seeking started.
That's a great question. Yeah, thank you for that question. That's a really good question because it does come down to beliefs. You know, I do a lot of emotional clearing work as well as like trauma release work, but it still comes down to belief patterns.
Yeah.
And where do those come from?
Yeah.
How did you unravel all that? Because that had, I mean, it affected your brain. You were tired, you were fatigued, you know, you lost yourself. So how did you get your brain power back?
Yeah. I'm not even sure if I ever had it. Especially, you know, it's like with each kid, my brain was getting a little bit smaller and shrinking, I don't think. But, you know, I think it was when I really started to, I experienced a lot of loss in my life. You know, I lost my dad. I lost one of my best friends. And I was really, truly having to rely more on me because they were very strong support systems in my life. And they both, and my mom had died around that time as well. So three very, very significant people in my life they were my go-tos. Mm-hmm. And so I was having to rely more on me for the first time in my life. And, you know, going inward and discovering, oh my goodness, I'm more than a meat suit. And I have this connection with source and my beliefs, my belief system inside. And there I found wisdom. I found wisdom that I couldn't read in a book through those experiences of actually connecting inward rather than seeking outward, right? Because I would always seek love or validation or support outside of myself. And here I was left to go inward. And I started to, you know, journey into Reiki and energy work and meditation. And that journey just kept getting deeper and deeper, just realizing that we were multidimensional. There was many layers of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. I had a similar journey. Absolutely. And I do find that for actually any successful entrepreneur, businesswoman, CEO, athlete, it's the inner journey that reflects in the outer world. So yeah. Going within, you learned a lot. So when you say multidimensional, what do you mean by that? What does that mean to you?
You know, I mean, I think that we've been limited to five senses.
Okay.
You know, yeah. But, you know, I'd say like two of the most important senses that I've learned since are discernment and intuition, which both require trust with the self.
Yes.
And in that, I discovered I can use my body as a filter, you know, to connect with another layer of myself, which is my sense of soul, right? Mm-hmm. Which is where that came from. And you still need the mind, right? I still need the mind to be present, which was very obvious that it wasn't when I was very heavily medicated, because sure. It numbed all of that.
Right.
And as I began to and get older through my experiences, I realized that if I learned to pause, if I really stopped reacting rather than letting everything kind of soak in before, and I had a choice in that space. And in that space, then I was able to kind of use my mind as well. So it was like using your body, mind, and soul, really, truly what you hear all the time. And one person had come on my podcast, an amazing person. I'll never, ever forget what he said. He said, we always say body, mind, soul. We should be saying soul, mind, body. We have it wrong.
Right. Because, I agree.
Because, you know, gone are the days.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I always say you're a soul with a body, not a body with a soul.
Yeah, experiencing.
Right? We're all experiencing this life, but it's that inner journey, that spiritual journey. And I love how you brought up the multidimensional. It's about the senses, right? That we have a sixth sense. Yeah, I remember when I first started using biofeedback programs, I watched the people come back and their intuition was stronger. And when they would tell me stories about how they followed it, they'd heal.
Yeah.
You know, pain would go away. You know, disease would go away. And I'd be like, this is amazing. What's really happening here? And I remember at the time I thought I should create a bumper sticker that says healing is following your intuition and trusting it.
Oh, I like that. Or I even think when that space begin to heal, or when I begin to heal, I started to make space within this temple, right? As I started to shed the ancestors and all the conditions. I mean, I was so led by synchronicity. I mean, I still am every day. I mean, especially lately, you know, but your vibration starts to rise and you start to just be more aware of everything that's around you, that's actually there supporting you.
Absolutely. And so when you are in that vibration and in that space, you know, a higher level, higher vibrational space, you're right. That's when synchronicity seems to just happen. Because you're aligned. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to call in what you need. What's really calling, you know, is it your mind calling that stuff in? What do you think? How does that even happen?
I think I've tried that for years to use my mind to call into things. Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's the mind. I think it truly is a spiritual alignment. It's a soul alignment.
And I love how it can come in so many ways. But for me, it has come through nature a lot.
Oh, give us an example of that.
Oh, I have so many examples, but you know, I love to sit outside. So, you know, I had to make space for myself. So I had to make a new routine. So my routine is going out every morning and having coffee outside. And thanks to my dogs, they kind of put me on this routine. But it became something that, what dogs or no dogs or whatever the day brings, that is a space that I really crave. And I love to feel the sun. And I really do use all my senses. I mean, you know, I feel the sun, the wind, I let it touch my skin. I just have like those, that mindfulness. And usually in that space, I'll notice, you know, whether it's a blue jay or recently it's been hummingbirds coming.
Ah,
a lot of hummingbirds.
Those mean love.
Yeah. Oh, do they know? I didn't. Yes. But a lot of people have been saying that they've been seeing hummingbirds. I've heard this.
Oh, good.
But yeah, lots and lots of doves. But there was this one day I'm outside in the backyard and I was really into the study of the Gnostic Sophia, which is the feminine aspect of God that was written in these Gnostic Gospels. And Sophia means wisdom in Greek. So I'm sitting outside and in my backyard, and I don't have to move. I can see the sun and the moon at the same time. Oh. And they're like equal in the sky. Oh. And it's a new, it's like a newer moon. Actually, I discovered it was the waxing moon, I believe. And it was almost like the sun rays were like crowning the moon. I'm not even joking. Wow. It became like poetry to me in my mind as I visualized this. And then it came to me that, of course, you can't have one without the other. You can't have light without dark. You can't have day without night. You can't have masculine without feminine. And I'm just like sitting here, like having this epiphany. And all of a sudden, this white dove, one white dove comes right above my head, almost to just validate, you know, in the most divine way, like you've received it.
Oh, that's
and beautiful. I have goosebumps even saying it, but
yeah,
it was,
I'm getting like chills.
Beautiful. I mean, there were so many messages and there were so many different synchronicities to it.
That's a beautiful story. Wow. Wow. So through nature, you get your wisdom. It almost feels when you said Sophia means wisdom, I'm thinking of my aunt. Her name was Sophie. And I feel like that should be your middle name.
You have
a lot of wisdom and a lot of insight, you know, almost in a really beautiful philosophical way where you can analyze those things and notice those things. And again, that is, and what I guess I want our listeners to understand here is that's your soul talking too. You know, like you are that aligned that you will notice that in a different way than someone else experiencing it the same time. Would you agree?
Like, and you know, the word philosophy is from Sophia, is wisdom. And Plato and all of the great thinkers were lovers of Sophia, lovers of wisdom, which is what philosophy means. And my first name means the possessor of hidden wisdom, is what I learned.
It's perfect. It's perfect. You've been aligned since, I feel like you were aligned. I remember we did some work with you on your podcast. You have been aligned since you were born.
I must have set up something.
you were born to, you know, to do this. So you have a morning routine, but you know, realistically, how do you balance your podcast, everything you're doing with your coaching and raising four kids?
You know, thankfully, most of my children are self-sufficient. The podcast is really the first thing that I've ever had for myself. You know, that doesn't have to do with children.
Okay.
It really is. It's like my baby. It is like a baby of itself.
Uh-huh.
And I think my children even get a little jealous of it sometimes. But yeah, I mean, I have three adult children, one who is on the spectrum. So, you know, he's a forever child, forever. Going to be with me likely. And I have a 11-year-old who is amazing. I mean, my children have been my teacher. I mean, each one of them have taught me so much and have been a part of this journey. And it's interesting. My youngest always sees everything before it happens along my journey. It's so interesting.
Oh.
But, you know, balancing it is something that is important that I learned to ask for help Okay. But I learned to make boundaries. Boundaries was a huge thing for me. And, you know, nobody likes to be told no, but, you know, that was something that I had to actually consciously learn to do because I'm from a line of yes women. So boundaries was very huge for me to overcome that. And in doing so, I think I stopped that pattern, you know, that was in our ancestry. And I can see the strength in my daughters and the boundaries that they have more naturally, which is, you know, an accomplishment for myself.
Yeah. And for them too. So good for you. Congratulations. Yeah. You've learned some beautiful tools. Any tips on how you learn those? You know, other people out here who are empaths and they have, you know, a family and children that they're raising and, you know, people feel stressed and overwhelmed. It's Christmas, right? You know, everything's happening. What are some tools or tips that you use to keep yourself balanced?
You know, I think that for me on my journey, just being aware. So taking that pause and in that pause, you know, having awareness, and that awareness could be of your surroundings visually, right? Using all of your senses, or it could also be just listening to what's happening in your mind. Is this your problem? Is it theirs? And then you get to make a choice whether or not how you're going to react. I mean, a lot of times we're just out of control with that. Mm-hmm. If you don't make that space, and sometimes we say things we don't mean. You know, especially in the morning, me and my girls have made a rule to talk so much in the morning because then we regret what we say. You know, there's no pausing. We're just grumpy. And so I think it's just important to be aware of your thoughts, become the witness and listen to what's going on. You know, a lot of times you'll find the things that are coming up in your mind aren't always yours. You know, they could be, you know, patterns that you've been telling yourself for a long time that root from somewhere far, far than the present moment, and they don't even exist. So, you know, it's just important to listen.
To listen. Yeah. Very, 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 very good points, you know, because most of the stuff, at least, you know, we are affected by other people's energy all the time, whether you're living with them or whether it's somebody you talk to, or it could be somebody at the store, you know, so we're energetic beings. And so asking yourself those good questions. I had a teacher who said the question is more important than the answer. Yeah. Oh, asking good questions, right?
And, you know, everybody knows what it's like to, you know, have someone come home from a long day and all of a sudden they're in a bad mood and you hadn't seen them your whole day. I mean, it wasn't you, you know, but yet they're taking it out on you. And, you know, in that pause, you can realize that. You could say, oh, well, you know, this isn't me. This must be something that happened to them today. So you can choose in that moment, you know, to not carry it and just to give them space and, you know, and just go on. Sometimes we can let those things carry it, you know, through the night, through the week, you know, and just unnecessarily.
Right, right. No, that's such wisdom. That's such great advice. You talk a lot about space too, space and pause. Yeah. And I think of a friend of mine who traveled to China for some healing years ago. This is 10 or 15 years ago. When she came back, she said, you know, I learned from this master in China that we heal in the spaces. Mm. And that's really what you're referring to.
Yeah.
Is that beautiful pause, right? That space. Yeah. And I know you call yourself a spiritual sleuth and you've done such great work with like ancestral like clearing. And I do a different form of that. And so, you know, how has that changed your perspective of life and religion?
I think, you know, like you had just said, asking questions, right?
Okay.
And, you know, being curious and seeking your own truth, you know, really living by those experiences, you know, chasing after the mysteries, right? There's so much wisdom in there, you know, stop playing small. Like the world is like a huge just like blank slate, you know, of canvas, ready to just, you know, be just explored and made into and created anything. You know, you can create anything you want. And it's just, I feel like we've been limited and there's just so much possibility in seeking beyond, you know, what your eyes can see.
Oh, that's good too. Absolutely.
There's so much out there.
There is so much out there. I mean, the world is, again, I think of another teacher I had who said, you know, if you're not honoring your gift in the world, you're dishonoring, like if you're not using it. And we all have gifts. We all have many, many gifts. And it's like almost just opening that package, right? And discovering what that is. But if we're not using it in the world, we're actually dishonoring God. We're dishonoring our soul.
Yeah. And you evolve from that, you know? I mean, and I feel like I'm a student for life. And I know that I say this a lot in my podcast because I'm always talking to amazing people like you. And I'm just learning all the time. And it's just been, I mean, sometimes my brain wants to blow up. I'm not going to lie. Oh my gosh, mind blowing. You know, in my podcast, we talk about anywhere from healing to aliens. So, you know, there's just this limitless, you know, boundary of possibilities. And I enjoy it so much. It raises my vibe and it just makes me just full of life. I just love it.
Yeah, I can tell. I can tell that you do. Yeah. And I do too, because I love, love, love talking with people. I would do this all day long. You know, I'm like, I just want to, because you're right. I learned from you. You know, I learned from all my guests. It's this beautiful synergy that happens. It's amazing.
It's so true. Yeah.
It's just absolutely amazing. And I know right now you're also, you know, you've done your story. So on your podcast, you did a whole Sense of Soul, Untangled Roots about your ancestry, and you did your story in there. Tell us about that. I mean, not the whole story, but how did you even want to do that? You know?
You know, I feel like my journeys, Louise, have been about me. However, it always seems like it expands beyond me. Like I learned this information for myself, you know, through my own journey. This is how it starts. But then I realize, wow, like the world needs to know this.
Uh-huh.
Like they've been kept in the dark from this. And so my journey is interesting in that it always is like this. Like I really do admire the people who could do mediumship just one-on-one and speak to people's ancestors and, you know, loved ones and stuff. But my journey has always been more collective. Mm-hmm. It'll start with me. But it expands. And my ancestral journey, my roots are from Louisiana. So I'm French Creole. And, you know, they are forgotten people. You know, I mean, people often forget that Louisiana it ranged over 16 states up and down the Mississippi River for hundreds of years. So, you know, there's a lot of history within that that has not been told. I mean, at one point there was more of mixed race, you know, than there was of not, because of their three caste system. And, you know, a lot of this has been lost and not told. Yeah. So it became my purpose just to, I feel like it healed me so much. I started to tell one friend, right? And then I told another and they were like, you have to tell everybody about this. So I did. So I made a little mini series on my ancestry. And it's my personal journey, but I also help people also do this. And so I have a clear workshop that I put together. It's all of the tools that I used for me over the years, over 6 years. Mm-hmm. And I put them together so I could help people. And I've probably done like 200 or more trees. I actually help you build your actual tree. And then it's just pretty amazing what happens. There's a lot of healing, a lot of healing.
Oh, that's really cool. So you're really deep diving into the ancestral path of people. And like you said, the history of Louisiana. And wow, that's very, very cool. We can learn a lot from our ancestors. You know, that's in our DNA. Their patterns.
Yeah, you start to see it.
Yeah, the patterns.
Yes. And, you start to see the patterns.
Yeah. And those patterns, I mean, they can be positive patterns that you want to carry forward, beautiful things, or they can be negative patterns that you don't want to carry forward. But knowing it and being aware of it and then using tools to clear it out will help someone become closer to their soul.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of trauma. Our ancestors have had gone through a lot. It makes you almost appreciate just being here. And I mean, it's a sheer miracle, you know. I mean, that they had to, you know, sail across, you know, the transatlantic, which took 2 months to get here from France anyways. And half of them would die. Like literally, they said 50% of the people would not survive. Mm-hmm. So even just with that, it's like, wow. But then just to think if one of them would have made a left turn rather than a right, you wouldn't be here.
So true. Yeah, they really struggled, you know. So we need to, and I'm in gratefulness every day, you know, just grateful to be here and to be able to do this kind of work with people. I know you are too. And from all this, I know you're also writing a book. So when
I am,
I'm excited for you. So tell us a little bit about that, or do you know when this is going to be released?
Well, according to Neil Donald Walsh, because he wants to write the foreword to my book, and he gave me a date of May 1st. But also, according to astrology, like I should have this done by May 1st, or at least by May. And it's already in the works. I mean, I pretty much already have it done. I just need to move through the editing part and all that. However, it's my journey through the Gnostic Gospels, really, how I discovered this divine feminine energy. I was so shocked. I mean, you know, growing up Catholic and going, wait, what? A divine feminine who? Sophia, what? These Gnostic Gospels were written by Jesus's disciples. These were the other disciples that were left out of the Bible, not just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, including, you know, Mary Magdalene had a beautiful, you know, gospel. And so, you know, they spoke to me. Jesus was like a Zen master in these books. And, you know, they're pretty raw. They've only been translated a few times. So, you know, they haven't been through the hierarchy of, you know, many different kingdoms and kings over time and haven't really been touched in the way that our Bible has or other, you know, scriptures. So, you know, they're very difficult to read. And most of my journey, I was led through experiences like I had with the moon and the sun. You know, it all entangled with my journey. There was so much synchronicity. And so I just share my own experiences in hope that the readers will seek on their own to discover, you know, this divine wisdom within themselves. Really, truly, it is an inner journey. Yes. And so I do share my own experiences through it and also educate them about the history that's been missing and that's been buried, you know, actually literally buried in the Nag Hammadi.
That's beautiful. Yeah, that's really, really beautiful. It sounds like it's going to be incredibly inspirational, you know, and we learn from our ancestors, but we learn from the wisdom that someone touches it with their own journey, like you said. So it's like your view, which then can put a different sort of, I don't know even how to say it, like a different stamp, a different way of looking at it that then the reader then can also take from that what they want.
Yeah. And it is interesting to ask people, you know, as me, I get to interview people and ask them about how did you discover, you know, Sophia or this feminine energy? And everyone has their own unique way. It's so divine. But this feminine energy is rising in us. Yes. I mean, it does. We're not talking just female, you know, just that feminine aspect of God is rising in us. I mean, it is that inner wisdom. It's compassion. It's love. It's space.
It's space.
That pause.
It's the pause, right? The compassion and the love. Yep. Love is the highest vibration on the planet. So, you know, we want to help people get more in tune to that and to the light within themselves.
Mm. And that's what Sophia is known as, the spark within.
The spark within. Wow. How completely beautiful. Wow. Well, you're doing such great work in the world. I'm real excited for your book. How can people, you know, give us how people can get a hold of you? Definitely want to hear the Sense of Soul podcast. You guys got to check that out. So it's just senseofsoulpodcast.com. What else do you have for us there, Shanna, that you want to share with all of us?
Oh my goodness. I don't know. There's like over 400 episodes. I originally started the podcast with my best friend who she's, you know, so actually I'll be having her on very soon. And then we have my Patreon, my Sense of Soul Patreon actually has mini series on both my ancestry and Sophia.
Nice.
So yeah. And actually there's almost 19 episodes about Sophia. It's called The Allegory of the Divine Goddess of Wisdom, that miniseries. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. They're short episodes, though. So those are very like 20, 25-minute episodes. And you could find those at Sense of Soul Patreon. Or it's Patreon. You just look up Sense of Soul. And I also do circles on my Patreon. And you could join at any level. And actually, you don't even have to be a paid member. You could just be a member. And so I suggest people go there and check that out too.
That's beautiful. So you can become a member of her community and learn more mm-hmm. from beautiful Shanna here and all about Sophia. Hey, I named one of my computers Sophia Rose years ago. I just
remember that.
I did. I just remember that. I gave them all names and that was one of the names. Yeah. I'll have to figure out which one I named Sophia Rose. Yeah.
Yeah. And the rose actually signifies, that's another symbol or sign of Sophia is the rose.
Is it? Oh, I will have to tell you my rose story sometime. I have a rose story yet to share sometime. Oh, yeah. That's really, really cool. Well, you have just...
Oh, yeah, I'm going to hear it.
Oh, you've done such great work in the world. I'm so, so, so proud of you and your podcast and all that you're doing and how many people you're helping and the wisdom that you share. Thank you so much for being with us. If you were going to leave like our audience with it, this is the Brain Soul Success Show, right? So I talk about the brain too and how your brain was affected and we can see the insights you have. If you were going to leave our audience with one sort of brain tip, what would it be?
I would say just making that space in your brain, really. You know, I mean, making just that space. And sometimes, you know, it can get so busy in there, but that's good too. Listen to that busyness. That's important. That busyness, those things that were coming up during that mindfulness class, that was the beginning of my journey. It was very important that I heard those things. So it's not always just to push it all away. It's to, you know, just making that space just to listen. So that would be my suggestion.
That's so beautiful. So beautiful. And again, thank you so much for being with us today. And you guys check out Shanna's beautiful Sense of Soul podcast. So many great interviews on there. I've listened to interviews, but now I want to listen to your story.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So have a great day, everyone. And remember, follow your heart, go within, and take your brain with you.